A little bit of change in order. If you've come before where we have done praying with mandalas and coloring those and we put the message up front, that's kind of how today is going to be, because I thought, unbeknownst to me and to Pastor Hannah, that we were both thinking about the word of the year for this service and for her service yesterday. So you're getting a double dose of word of the year. So what I thought we would do is talk about a little bit about it, because a lot of times people do resolutions, and we're just going to chat a little bit about why a word of the year is a little bit different approach. And then I put a little template together for us to do, so that we will have a scripture to read, but each silent period we'll have where I'll give you some instructions to do during that silence, because there's like 5 steps, and we'll do step 1, 2, and 3 during each of the silences. If you already have a word of intention, you can do steps 3, 4, and 5, because you don't need to do the first 2, which is identifying it. So I will just overview what we're going to do, and then before each silence part, I will go again over what we're going to do for that particular one. Right? But just so you know, the message is in the beginning instead of the end, because we like curveballs. Let's open in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for new things, new beginnings, new years, the closing of one chapter, the opening of whatever possibilities are in front of us. I'm thankful for each one here tonight. I pray that today, as we meditate on a word of intention for the year, that each person opens up to nudgings from you and the guidance from you. We thank you for your presence. Amen. Okay, so this time of year, so many people are doing what they call New Year's resolutions. But what if you could get more out of the new year just than a few resolutions? So what if you can take just one word, and that one word would inspire and motivate you for the entire year? So tonight's message, we'll discuss just the benefits of having that process of that one word and what it can do for you versus the New Year's resolutions. So like I said before, during the 3 silent moments, we will have steps, like 1, steps 2, and steps 3 of this process. And so if you've ever made New Year's resolutions, I know you know how hard it is to actually follow them. They kind of fall by the wayside as soon as life starts happening and we take other priorities. So here's a few reasons why a word of intention is a little bit, I think, better than making a New Year's resolution. So first of all, your word of the year, it can be like this, what we call a quick shorthand, to help you remember that the person you actually want to be. Right? So you, whoever it is that you're trying to become and be during the year, this can link you to that. It's something that will remind you why it's important when we're to make good choices in life, and how doing so is going to help provide you a rewarding life. And then second, if you have a word of the year, it helps you focus on what's important. So when things get really busy, and who doesn't get busy, if you have a clear focus because you've used this word and the process we go through to get the word, it's really much easier to stay on task and track and achieve your goals. And then third, the word of the year is like having a personal guiding light throughout your year. And if you include God, and you'll see the process we go through, there's this moment where we're asking God for information, and then we're asking him for guidance. So by the time we come to the word that you selected, it's actually a word he's giving to you. And in that way, then, when you use that word as the guide throughout the year, it becomes a way for you to stay on track with what his will is for you for the year. So think about it. If you wanted to start the year out and you did a New Year's resolution to cut fast food out of your diet, like of how many of you would be turning into McDonald's? I was there, what is today, the 3rd? I was at McDonald's by yesterday. And so you would already probably have broken that and not been able to achieve it. So your resolution is kind of just this action, a to-do list of things to get done, and it becomes a chore. But if your word of the year is instead health, that puts a whole different framework around it. So now you've got this vision for yourself, and what you would like to see at the end of the year is a healthier you. And you would, with that vision in place,
it's a lot easier than to make a decision to avoid fast food. But it would also include a broader arrangement than just eating. It would include all the aspects. So when you choose your actions based on the vision that you have for yourself, it's just a lot easier to create habits that support that vision than simply following a resolution. And so word of an intention is more of a vision for yourself. Fourth, resolutions are limiting, but a word of the year is kind of all-encompassing. And I love this one because a couple examples I'll share with you. So in 2019, when Pastor Hannah gave us, at the end of 18, for 19, this concept of doing a word of the year, I chose a word of the year, and I formed more engaging relationships with several people. I worked to show up differently with people by becoming better at kind of showing up as my true self in as many moments as I could. Not always easy. I tried to exercise my voice so I could go into confrontations, all right, instead of avoiding them, and did it in a healthy way, so that relationships could actually get deepened because of that interaction and those conversations. I opened myself up to live from a place of giving but also receiving love. And so by doing those things, it brought about more connection and joy to my being. My word was authenticity. So if I had just simply made a resolution to hang out with people, to increase my social encounters, I could have reported that, yeah, I did that, right? And I could have checked off a to-do list that I did that. I hung out with people. And it would have just been something to complete. And I could do that mindlessly because I can hang out with anybody and talk to a wall. So that would have been okay. But I would have just moved on. But showing it up as my true self as often as possible and engaging my voice when conflict was present, or being love and experiencing receiving love, that then helped me move forward towards connection and joy, and that's what I would long for. But those don't happen by checking off a resolution for New Year's. Did I do this? It didn't. They happened because my word of intention for the year, that helped define what I wanted and ways of knowing if I was on the right track. Because the word provided me a barometer. I was either living authentically or I wasn't. And I had Brené Brown's, she's got this beautiful definition of what authenticity is. And that became my go-to. And I'm either doing these things or I'm not. So I'm either working towards authenticity or I'm not. So it helped give me that guidepost that we're talking about. Your word of the year can help you navigate through tough times. So a lot of times therapists will tell you to have a mantra to lean on in tough times. And it's just a word or a phrase that kind of helps you find peace during challenging moments. So your word of the year can provide that same benefit, but it's this ongoing mantra that you use throughout the year, not just whenever you're having tough times. So like, for example, what if your word was family? When life would get hectic and tough, the word family would keep you grounded by reminding you that you're choosing to put family first throughout the year. So it's just a way of kind of bringing you back. To me, one of the most interesting aspects of a word chosen is how often the word that you choose for, you have a particular reason. Like, whenever you've chosen your word, there's a reason why you chose it and how you think you're going to use it during the year. You just kind of start at that point. But as the year progresses, that word has so many, I call it like tentacles. There's so many other ways that word comes out to play in your world. For example, in 2020, my word was rhythm, because I have absolutely zero consistent rhythm in any various aspects of my life. It's just not mine. So my hope was to use that word rhythm to anchor, as an anchor to find consistent behavior. Even if I got to the end of the year and it was in one little small area here or there, that would be success. But little did I know that there was gonna be a pandemic, and the word rhythm took on a completely different meaning than I had intended. It became about how to find some semblance of normal or defining a new norm, right? That was what rhythm became for all of us. It just looked very differently. So it wasn't what I thought when I first chose it. And then there's a woman in my Monday group who, we were talking about this morning, and I said, can I use you tonight? And she said, sure. So her word for 2021 she had a completely 180 degree turn from what her word was and the reason she chose it. So her word was acceptance. She had fallen and hurt her shoulder at the end of last year. So it was about the injury and some things that she was going to have to accept, upcoming surgeries, that sort of thing. Huh. Little did she know that in spring the doctors were going to find the brain aneurysm because she accidentally fell again. And in that they found this. And that her focus for the year ended up becoming accepting her health limitations. It wasn't just that shoulder. It was all the other limitations and things that she was going to face during the year around her health, and ultimately losing her ability to drive much sooner than she would have ever thought. So that's a far cry from what she originally thought the word acceptance was going to be, but it came to mean so much more to her through the year. So tonight we're just going to look at one process you could use to decide on your word. I'm just going to go an overview of what the steps are, and again, I'll reread the step whenever we get to each of the silent part. And did everybody get a handout that was up there? And do you have a writing instrument? If you need a writing instrument, there's some up there that you can grab. All right, so there's five steps in here, but we're focusing on the first three tonight, unless, again, you've already got your word. Then you start with number three when everyone else is at one. So the worksheet, step one, is reflect and journal on these questions. So these are just questions, just enough of them that something may speak to you. For example, what do I need right now and going into the new year? What do I need? What went well last year and what didn't? What is currently missing in my life? What do I lack? What am I longing for? What areas of my life are in balance and what areas of my life need work? In what ways did I grow last year? And what areas of growth is God presenting to me currently? Who is the person I would like to become? What qualities do I want to cultivate within myself? Capture words describing this person. What might I currently be celebrating? And where might I be stuck? What is keeping me stuck? Where am I celebrating? And what might be keeping me stuck? So as you ponder that during the first silence, just capture notes in this open section here. Does that make sense? That's what we'll do, silence one. And I'm actually, when you're wondering, this is way long, I asked for 6 minutes instead of the usual 4 to 5. So that's step one. When we come back for silence number two, we're going to do brainstorming of words. And based on those reflections above, you can capture the words that are meaningful to you. There's a word sheet that's provided. If words don't come to you naturally, you can look through here for some. You might want to circle ones that feel like they fit. And then you'll go through and narrow it down, in a process of narrowing it down. Here's the key. Your annual word, it should energize you, keep you motivated, give you comfort, keep you on track when times are challenging. So when you're going through that listing of words that you had come up with, and those things aren't ringing true for you, your gut's probably going to tell you, then just take those off your list, because we need that word to be a good anchor for the year. Then if you have a narrowed down list, again, this will be step two, you've got a couple of options here, or you can do both. You can ask yourself what 10 things you can bring into your life if you live by this particular word. So let's say you're trying to choose between three. One of the words that feels most motivating to you, and that was easier to come up with that list, if I focus here, these are the things that'll come out in the end, that would be a good word to use. The other thing is, just get really quiet and ask God which of these words best describes his hope for you in the upcoming year. Right? The other thing is, as you're journaling in step one about all those questions, you might want to ask him for some input and to give you some nudges on some areas here that he might want you to capture. That'll make the words surface a little bit easier. Right? So then all of a sudden you're going to have your word. And then the third silence that we'll have, which will also be time when we're lighting candles, is I want you to interact with God about your word. I don't want you just to have a word and then off you go with it. I want you just to have a little nugget of time where you ask God to highlight areas of your life where this word is applicable. What had him placed this word in your life? And in what ways does God want you to use this word as a guide in the next year? And in what ways does this word challenge you? And what does this word remind you to do? So you just kind of journal about the things that come to mind when you ask those questions. Because as you go forward, that becomes a little bit of your guide, right, about how you're going to use that word going forward in what areas. And then the step 4 and 5 are at home. You want to keep your word visible during the year. I have sticky notes that you put up. I've made jewelry with my words on it. I had a place that actually you can buy the script word and you can just send them what the word is. And I got a plastic scripted rhythm word that I could put out. There's tons of ways to do a way to keep it visible. Write it in your journal and your day planner. Make a vision board. And then step 5, again at home, is make a plan about how you're going to live this out in your life. Some specific actions, how you can support this particular intention. You can share your word with friends for accountability, set dates to check in with yourself, different things like that. All right, so that make perfect sense? All right, so I'm going to read a scripture, and then we'll go into our first silence. Oh, and this is, by the way, when I was talking about like capturing things, when we did this coloring sometime in December, that's when he gave me my word. It was during the centering word when we did that. He gave it to me, and then he listed all the different things my words release, all the different things that I needed to be releasing. And the list is long and distinguished. It started in a Taizé service, and it continued on at home and other times where he just kept filling me with things and areas that release needs to happen for some reason. Just be open to it, and he will definitely guide that for you. All right. So our scripture tonight comes from Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 20. So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astounding love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you.